The reading's taken from the Old Testament, book of Exodus, chapter 34, reading from verse 29. If you look at it in your Bibles, then it's on page 94. The Radiant Face of Moses. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
So we're going to do a bit of work together on this passage this morning. Let me just pray before we begin. Loving God, thank you for your word to us. Thank you for the sign of Moses and his shiny face. May you open up your word to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to do a bit of work together on this. But before we begin that, Moses has been on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. And those of you who are paying attention to the church calendar will think, ooh, aren't we about to go into something which is 40 days and 40 nights? And it's not a coincidence that Lent is 40 days and 40 nights. There's lots of special numbers which come up in the Bible, and that this is one of them. And so there's a sense where what we're about to do in Lent is being connected with what Moses did on the mountain. And there's also a sense of it saying, it takes time to get to know God. It takes time to build your relationship with God. 40 days and 40 nights is a way of saying a long time. And it's a way of saying you need to be intentional about that. So Moses spent his time on the mountain with God, gazing on God's glory, receiving those words of love and mercy, which we know as the Ten Commandments. And he has now brought them down to God's people. This is the second time of bringing them, but that's another story. They messed it up the first time. So he had to go back up the mountain. He brings them down again, gives them to God's people who are waiting at the bottom of the mountain. And his face is shiny. And this is often, isn't it, what we associate, shininess, light, that's what we associate with God's glory in Scripture. In the Bible, glory is often sort of spoken about as shininess. And so whenever we think of shiny, we think glory. And we're meant to. That's what the Bible does. So my question to you this morning is, have you ever met someone who shines? Have you ever met someone who shines, that kind of radiant shining? I've met a few people, but one that I wanted to tell you about this morning was I remember when I first visited the bishop who sent me for ordination training. His name is Stephen Cottrell, and he was the Bishop of Reading at the time, and he's now the Bishop of Chelmsford. And whenever I see him, I tell him that I am his fault. It's his fault that I am here. And I spent, I'd never met him before, but I spent about 2 hours just in his presence, as it were, talking about life, the universe, and everything, about God, about what I thought this whole priest thing was about. And when I met him, I remember having that thought that I thought he was shiny. He was a shiny person. And after that, I just always called him the Twinkly Bishop. I'm sure he appreciated it. Have you ever met anyone who was shiny? How did it feel to you to be in the presence of that person? So I'm going to ask you now to turn to your neighbour. I know it's a scary thing. And share. Have you ever met anyone who kind of just exudes that kind of shininess? So I'm going to give you a couple of minutes now. Turn to your neighbour. Share with them the kind of people that you've met who are shiny. Back in to the larger group now. I don't know if anyone feels brave enough to share a little bit about the person that they met who felt like a shiny person to them, and maybe how they made you feel. Maybe how they made you feel. Okay.
I was just talking about the people in our lives, in our younger lives maybe, our youth leaders, that encouraged us. They really did shine, didn't they? Because they put us on the right road.
Yeah. Anyone else? Brave. Brave person.
Yes. Is it Jesus?
Jesus, yes. That's a fantastic answer. Thank you. Yes. Anyone else? Oh, Andrea.
It's just really on the back of what June's just said. Shall I name? Do a name? Or
if you want to.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Rachel Gardner.
Oh, okay.
I've heard her speak so many times. She led the Romance Academy absolutely every single time, very consistently, just oozed the love of God and really did shine. So.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So, there are those people who stand out to us, who have, and it was really interesting that you said it's kind of oozing the love of God. I think that is quite an important thing to pick up from this idea of glory and God's shininess. So when I left my bishop, I had this experience of thinking he was this shiny person. But when I left feeling built up and encouraged, that sort of warm sense of having been, you know, affirmed and becoming more the person that I was made to be. And in a way, I felt that I'd spent some time with Jesus. Now, I don't mean my bishop was Jesus, but there was a sense of him being Jesus-y. And him being Jesus to me, it's how I imagine it felt to sit and have a conversation with Jesus. And the thing is, you only get like that when you have spent time with God. You only become that sort of shiny, reflecting God's glory type when you choose to spend time consistent, intentional, long time with God, receiving from God yourself. It's all about that taking in that sort of unadulterated, unfiltered love of God into yourself. Knowing those people are people who know that they have been really, truly loved by God before they were born. I think sometimes we find that kind of love from God difficult to accept about ourselves. And we become a bit defended. It's difficult just to, it's almost like sitting in the sun, you know, and just allowing that to warm your skin and your heart. And that's why I said, you know, I think it is this thing of glory being that unadulterated love which comes from God. And I think when we spend time with God, we are being taught the truth. And it takes time to learn this truth, a long time, I think. I'm still learning. It's difficult, you know, that there is no end to God's love. There is no end to it. So there's no need to hold on to it, to withhold it from the world, you know, because it's limited. That there's actually more than enough for everyone. It can be given away. As a community of God's people as well, if we are those who are reflecting God's glorious love to those around us, then as a community, that will look like being those who are building up our community, seeking to see them flourish and to be Jesus to them as well. So I have two questions for you, which I'm going to just allow just to hang in the air this morning as you go out into this next week to seek to serve and to love God. So for you, so there's the individual, for you, what does it mean to spend time with God? Moses went up the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and we're about to go into Lent, so it's an ideal moment to evaluate what are you doing and what will you do to spend time with God. How are you, or how will you set time aside in your day or your week to receive from God? It's not about more work. We've all got too much work. But receiving that, the glorious love of God into yourself. Might there be something in Lent? You know, there are various things that can help you. There's something called 40 Acts. If you Google it, if you're that way inclined, it will come up and it will help you to see, you know, there might be things you can do each day. It is a doing thing rather than a receiving thing, but perhaps in the doing we receive. We've got a Lenten course here. I don't know, Mark, have you got something during Lent? Sounds good to me. So there's something Lent-like that you're doing in your church. You might spend time doing that. So what are you doing? And the second question, what does a shiny church look like? What does that community thing look like? If we are those who are spending time with God so that we shine, and so that God's glorious love is reflected from us out to our community, what does that look like? I think, for example, it looks like some of the stuff we're already doing. So at St. Mike's, the English club, the toddlers, the tea in the afternoon, those things that welcome people in and which show the love of God. At Holy Trinity, so you have Hotech, English class, and bereavement drop-in, messy church, many more things. These are things where the community around us is being loved and we are reflecting God. That glorious love of God to our community. A word of caution before we finish on this. Spending time with God and being a shiny church, being shiny people, cannot be faked. It's not something that can be faked. And might whisper this quietly, but I'm sure maybe we've all been in churches where, you know, shiny, happy people, and it might all feel a little bit plastic and only on a Sunday. Well, we don't want to be like that, okay? We cannot become shiny because we want to be shiny. We become shiny as a byproduct of spending that time with God. Because we love God. And we want to receive that love from God. And it needs to be that way around. It needs to be that way around. So as we approach Lent, let's do that. Let's seek to open ourselves up to receive from God more and more. And do that intentionally as we seek God in the weeks to come. Amen.